This is Stories Worth Sharing from the Church of England. Lucy, you're going to be ordained as a deacon in Wakefield Cathedral on July the 2nd. Could you talk to us a bit about your upbringing in a church family?
Yeah, I was brought up in a church family in an Anglican church. My mum was ordained when I was 9 years old, and it was then that I started questioning faith for myself and had my first sense of vocational calling into ministry.
And you talk a bit about kind of a curiosity about God and your perspective, thinking if your mum's going to prepared to be giving up being a full-time mum to make this commitment, then he must be pretty cool. Can you talk to us a bit about, you know, how kind of like theologically God could be cool in your mind as a child or something like that?
Yeah, I think it was just a really, probably a slightly selfish perspective to have had at the age of 9 years old. I'd had my mum to myself, or me and my siblings anyway, for all my life up until that point, and then suddenly she went into ministry and I had to share her. So it was more about that actually, if she'd sacrificed being my mum, then God must have been something pretty special. And she just had such a passion for her ministry and for all that she was doing when she was training for ministry as well, and for the learning that she was doing, that it got me thinking and questioning. And we had a lot of conversations about God and why she was doing what she was doing. And at the actual ordination itself, it was there that I just had a real sense of peace about everything and about how it was going to happen to me one day. And I never really questioned it at that age, because obviously I was 9 years old. I was not going to be ordained at that point. I always assumed it would be when I was the same age as Mum was. Until I got to university, really, and then God said, actually, I think it's now.
So you talk a bit about in your teenage years having what you've called an identity crisis that most teenagers have as well.
Yeah.
Can you talk to us a bit about, you know, what form that took itself in, what took place, and I guess what happened when you came out the other end of it?
Yeah, I guess I just mostly just thought that everybody else seemed to be a lot cooler than I was and had everything more together than I did, and like, my brothers and sister are quite a bit older than me, and they seemed more mature, and I just felt that actually I wanted to be that now. And so I was constantly trying to be other people rather than trying to find out who God wanted me to be. Mm. And I think that wasn't until I was sort of at the end of my first year of university, really, that I really sort of... through the nurture of St. Barnabas Church in Lenton Abbey, Nottingham, and through a particular sermon about God's creation of us being really special, it wasn't until then that I realised that actually whoever I am now is who God wants me to be, and that I didn't have to be what other people were in order to be accepted, because God accepts us for who we are and for what he creates in us.
You talk about parking your vocation, kind of almost accepting that inevitably it would happen at some point, but just waiting until that time. How did that affect kind of your teenage years and what you were getting up to?
I got teased a lot at school for being a Christian, for going to church. Everybody that was at school really sort of knew that my mum was a vicar, that I went to church regularly. I went to a church where I was one of very few youth, and had a lot of people, like friends who were elderly people, which is not necessarily what all my other friends were finding in life. And for me, I really embraced that. But at the same time, when I was at school, I think I was probably a different person, really, almost just sort of trying to fit in and merge into the crowds as such. I think in terms of vocation, I parked it because I was well aware that at the age of 12, 13, 14, there wasn't going to be an immediate development in my vocational calling other than me growing as a disciple and finding out more about who God was and finding out about Jesus and just learning and being curious about what it meant to be a Christian, and growing in that as I went through my teenage years. But I'd say I parked it in the sense that I kind of thought that young people didn't really get ordained so much. The people that I knew who were ordained were sort of middle-aged or older, and I'd never come across anybody who was sort of in their 20s and ordained. So for me, it was something that I was parking, and I'd kind of taken on singing as a hobby, and that kind of developed, and I flourished in that quite a lot. And so I sort of went with that and thought, I want to be an opera singer.
So talking about that kind of singing, that love for singing and music and stuff, you went on to read music at the University of Nottingham.
I did, yeah.
And joined the local church there, which was St Barnabas Lenton Abbey. Is that,
yes,
the church?
Correct.
Yeah. Can you talk to us a bit about that, you know, that desire to sing, to study music, how that developed?
Yeah, so I started out in church choirs. My brother was a church organist, so that was sort of a gateway into singing in choirs in churches. And I then was sort of scouted out by a lady in the congregation growing up who said she wanted to teach me singing. She worked for Opera North, so I went for singing lessons with her, and then moved on to one of her friends who developed me further. And then when I was at university, I'd just had my tonsils removed after having tonsillitis for about 3 years, sort of off and on. And I just found it really hard work when I got to university. I sort of arrived thinking it was going to be great, and I'd get into all these choirs because, well, I sang with the National Youth Choirs, and I'd had a lot of success in terms of singing up until that point. But then when I got to university, I'd just had my tonsils out, and just didn't happen for me. I didn't get into the choirs that I wanted to be in. I didn't get the parts that I wanted. I felt quite disappointed and quite low self-esteem. I was away from home for the first time, really homesick. And the church at St Barnabas, Lenton Abbey, they just welcomed me in and loved me and cared for me and nurtured me. And they kind of just accepted me as I was at that point, and they many of them invited me round for coffee or for dinner or to babysit, or like there was one particular family who sort of adopted me as I was at university. And I always felt that my involvement with the church people and my involvement in reading in church and intercessing in church and being on rotas for welcoming and things like that, every time I questioned whether I wanted to give up university and go home, and I'd cry at my mum on the phone and I'd say, I don't like it, I really can't cope. And she'd say, fine, it's okay, come home. We're not going to love you any less if you don't graduate. And I couldn't, because I had church commitments and I had babysitting commitments for my friends at church, and I felt a part of that community much more than I did really the university community, I would say, at that point. So that was what kept me there.
So the church was kind of a fundamental positive experience that I guess kind of helped spur you on and keep you going through tough times.
Yeah, for definite. And it was at the end of my first year that my involvements in the church were then developed into a remembering of my sense of calling, helped along by my brother's mother-in-law, who sort of questioned me about my university time, and she was asking me all about the things that I enjoyed about university, and the only things I could tell her about were church. And she asked me, have you ever thought about becoming a vicar like your mum? And I was like, and I just kind of froze, and I didn't really know what else to say to that. And then I was sort of thinking about it, and I'd had quite a few people at that time asking me similar questions about becoming a vicar, and I'd always assumed it was just because they knew that my mum was a vicar. Now, she did know that my mum was a vicar, but I know she wouldn't have asked me that question, like, on a whim. She would have definitely thought it for, like, as a serious thing before asking me it. And so it got me thinking, really, and then I realised that actually the people who had been asking me didn't know my mum was a vicar, particularly, or most of them didn't. So actually then I then asked my sister if she'd ever been asked the question, and she'd never actually been asked the question, so I felt that maybe that was something worth thinking about. And it was then that I sort of started to question my vocation as a, is it possibly now? And yeah, from there on it's kind of been gradual, but always working towards going forward for training.
That's really, really interesting that, you know, as a younger child, you have this idea, oh, this I feel like this could be me one day. You go off to kind of pursue something else that seems quite good, and then you're brought back by other people saying, have you thought about this?
Yeah.
And it's just interesting the way God works sometimes in bringing things that we've experienced in the past life back into kind of the sphere now. So you're being ordained as a deacon later on in July this year. Can you talk to us a bit about how you're feeling about that, the excitement, the nerves, all of that sort of stuff?
Yeah, there's quite a mixture of emotions. I think over the past 6 months, it's the realisation that it's not in the future anymore. It's kind of happening now, has really dawned on me. I know I came back from the Christmas vacation, and I had quite a lot of like, oh, it's really happening now. it's taken a little while to sort of get my head around that, but I'm really excited, and my curacy parish is fantastic. My training incumbent and I have been in communications, and all seems really well at the moment. So I'm really feeling very positive about it. I am nervous, of course. I think I'd be worried if I wasn't nervous. I don't think anybody comes into this job thinking that they can do it on their own. So it's a lot of prayer and a lot of prayer support from other people as well. And I've actually made one of the rooms in my curacy house into a prayer room specifically to pray.
That's fantastic.
So, I think prayer is the only way forward for it, really, because you can't do it without God. It's not the sort of job that one can take on. I'm definitely nervous about how I'll fit in and what my role will entail when I sort of start to settle in. And just about finding your feet in a new place and not becoming isolated because all your friends have moved to different parishes around the country, and making sure you keep contact with them and keep up those communications and support networks. And I'm about, I'd say, about probably about an hour away from my family in Yorkshire as well. So it's not too far away from them for when I've got days off and I can go and relax with them. So yeah,
that sounds really good. And what's the one thing you're most looking forward to about being in a brand new place, a brand new community, finding where you kind of you fit in and where people need help, etc.? What's the one thing you're most looking forward to about that?
Probably meeting new people, loving new people, and serving the needs in the community here, and just kind of finding a new place and new people, and journeying with them and alongside them, actually, and growing together.
You mentioned about thinking about being ordained when you were younger and thinking, oh, there's not many younger ordained people that I know. What would you say to people who are younger, who are in their 20s, in their early 30s, thinking, actually, this is something that I really feel called to do, being ordained, becoming a deacon, becoming a priest, becoming a vicar in the church?
Yeah, I'd encourage it. I would really encourage it, because I think The church needs young people as well, and God calls us as we are. He doesn't call us because we've had 30 years of life experience more than I might have. He doesn't call us because we've gone through lots and lots of things in our life. He calls us as we are, and if you have a sense of vocation in ministry, then test it out. Go through discernment, whether that be going on courses or talking to people in your diocese to get support, or to your vicar. There's lots of people available who can help you to start out on that path and that journey. I've had a lot of support in my journey. People have been really great. And don't necessarily say no not now, because you feel like you're too young. Yeah, I could probably say I feel nervous because I'm quite young, but I think like God's doing a lot of good things in me, and I can evidence that over the past 3 years, if not more. So, yeah, I'd encourage that for anybody, really.
That was a story worth sharing from the Church of England. Thanks for listening.